I hope you're comfortable. It's funny because I wanted to do this service outside because I just thought that it would dramatically change things in the way that we look at the Passion. We all probably have been to church too many times in our life when we saw the Passion over and over again. And you remember the procession and you remember the palms. But maybe this will give you a different memory, a different way of carrying it forth into your life. You know, it's funny, I started thinking about it. I've been working in churches for over 41 years. And churches are really great places to work, except sometimes for the people. People are difficult. The church is good, but people sometimes are real difficult. I have to laugh, though, because without the people, you don't have the church. And without the people, you don't learn what you're supposed to learn. Do you realize that every person that's ever come into your life had a lesson for you? Had something to teach you? Maybe in the way they treated you? Well, maybe in the way they didn't treat you so well. But nonetheless, that God was there to use them in your life, no matter how difficult or how well they treated you. You know, I had to laugh because as I started to really read this Passion again and again, I thought to myself, isn't it interesting? Here Jesus goes through, you know, the procession in a high point, then all of a sudden he's arrested. And then all of a sudden he's taken off and he's whipped and he's mocked and, you know, tried falsely in a, you know, just a kangaroo court. And then what happens? He gets sent off to be nailed to a cross. The jeering, the mockery doesn't stop there. And there he is, nailed to a cross. He says quite a few words while he's on the cross, but there's two, one that was mentioned in this scripture and another one that have always caught my attention. The first one was the one that I read here. In the midst of it, he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me or abandoned me? What was going on there? I mean, why would he cry out? I mean, here's the Son of God saying to the Father, why did you forsake me? Why did you abandon me? Most scholars believe that what took place there was that Jesus, who all his earthly life, from the time he was born, even the time he was conceived, right straight through to this point, had never been disconnected from God the Father. I mean, he had that flow. You know what I mean? If you've had a spiritual experience where you finally feel, I'm right with God, it's okay. I don't know about you, if it's like me, I can hold on to that for a couple of moments and then I lose it. But for Jesus, he had it for 33 years where there was never a disconnect between he and his Father. Until the moment when he says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Because he took on the sin of you and me, all of us. It all on for all the time and all the people before him and all the people to come after him, which means yours and mine. And at that point, he, in his own volition, his own choice, said, I'm taking on the brokenness of the entire world for all time. And God the Father, you know, was in a sense out of reach for him at that point because he took all that, well, we carry that keeps us from him. He took it all on at one time. The other line that has always struck me, that's not in the gospel that we read here, but it's also in the other gospel stories, is where he says, into your hands I commend my spirit. Into your hands I commend my spirit. In other words, God, I trust you. Father, I trust you. I mean, that happened only moments after, my God, why have you abandoned me? And all of a sudden, something must have clicked in him and said, even with all the sin of the world, I can still connect to the Father. When you hear those two next to each other, you got to wonder, was he bipolar? Because he was going from one place to another place really quick. And yet, I don't think that that was any sign that he was bipolar. I think it was simply what spiritual life is all about. You see, most people think that if you have faith, it's great. I'm so connected to God. And most people think, well, if I'm doubting or I'm unsure, well, then I must not have faith. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Not caring is the opposite of faith. Doubt's part of it. Comes in. I don't know about you, but in my life, you know, I committed my life to Jesus Christ back just about this time of the year. It was March 26th of 1976. So you do the math. That's a lot of years. But I'll never forget, you know, I mean, in that walk that I had with Christ, there's been ups and there's been downs. There's been times where I felt so close to him, I was like, I must be in heaven. And then there's been times I've been so distant from him, I'm like, I must be in hell. And that's what the spiritual life really is. It's where you go from one place to another. But at all times, you know that even though you struggle with your faith, God's faith in you, his belief in you, is strong enough because of his grace to get you through it all. You know, in the time, if you've been with St. Peter's for a long time, you've heard one prayer said over and over again, just about as many times as the Lord's Prayer is said, and that is the Serenity Prayer. You hear me say it all the time. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But that prayer doesn't end there. Did you know that? There's a second half of that prayer that Reinhold Niebuhr wrote. It goes like this. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. You know, most of us don't want to do that. When we have hardship, most of us want to get out of it. And yet, when we get out of it, we miss the lessons that are supposed to be taught in. Because God teaches you a lot more in the dark than he does in the light. Most of us think, well, somehow I just got to get this done with. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't spend the time you're supposed to be in there and learn the lesson, odds are you're going to get back there real soon again. There's some of us here right now that have been repeating the same behavior in your life over and over and over again, and I'm one of them sometimes. But the older I get, the less I want to do that. And I want to come to that place where, to be quite honest with you, I accept hardship as a pathway to peace, because that's really all I want to get. To be at peace. To know I'm connected to God. To know I'm connected to God even when inside myself and out of my lips I'm saying, my God, where are you? Why'd you abandon? But knowing that all the while, my spirit will be commended onto him. Somehow in the midst of it all, it's all going to work out. Some of the things that you got to do is exactly what it says. Taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. And I'll be up front with you. Most of us in our life, you know, when somebody doesn't agree with us, well, then we aren't in a relationship with them. Most of us today, we don't have discussion anymore. While somebody's saying something that we don't like, what are we doing? We're too busy trying to plan how we're going to convince them that they're wrong and we're right. And yet, that's not what relationship with is. Think if God did that with you all day long. But we're called to grow into the full stature of what God has for us, who Jesus called us to be like him, who met people one-on-one, encountered them, and accepted even the stuff that he didn't deserve that would be totally unfair, and accepted it as, this is part of what I have to go through so that I can fulfill the will of God. Most of us are lousy acceptors. And I pray that this year that we become better at acceptance. Acceptance of the things that just don't go our way. Knowing that, well, we can do what we can to change it to where it goes a little bit more our way, but we got to do it where we accept people where they're at and meet them where they're at. To live one day at a time. To seek peace instead of keeping looking down the road saying, If I just get all the chairs of the Titanic arranged correctly, everything's going to be okay. It doesn't work that way. But the way it works is accepting serenity that God's given us so that we accept things we cannot change. Have the courage to change the things we can, but really seeking that wisdom. That wisdom. That joy to know the difference. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me? But in just a couple of breaths later, he said, I trust you. Father, into my hands I commend my spirit. You are in the hands of God, no matter what you feel. And if you turn and realize and look into the eyes of the man who has you in his hands, into the God that's got a hold of you, and you accept, then all of a sudden, you're going to learn that life really is joyful and full. That somehow there's power greater than you at work in you to lift you through everything that you've ever gone through and everything that you will go through. And that he's never, ever going to let you go. And there's that connection that we all get when we finally know we are right with God. It's not because of what we did. It's because of what Jesus did. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing. Always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so we join the saints and angels in proclaiming your glory as we say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so, Father, we bring you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Father, we now celebrate the memorial of your Son. By means of this holy bread and cup, we show forth the sacrifice of his death and proclaim his resurrection until he comes again. Gather us by this holy communion into one body in your Son, Jesus Christ. Make us a living sacrifice of praise. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.